What time is it?
Game time!
Wade with a hidden shoulder fake to the rack.
Oh my goodness, Wade!
Taps up a three.
Bam! Jimmy Butler, big time onion!
Side jumper off the mark.
Oh, look back with right hand. Felicia right in the mug of Miles Plumlee.
Throw it.
Oh my!
Down,
gosh.
Big man! Throw it down!
On the new home of the Chicago Bulls, this is Chicago Bulls Live. And now, here's Steve Cashel.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890, our weekly program inside the world of Chicago Bulls basketball and the NBA and beyond. I'm Steve Cashel. Well, busy week for the Chicago Bulls, one of their busiest weeks of the season. 5 games in 7 days, but the big news, the unfortunate news, Dwayne Wade undergoing an MRI for a right elbow injury suffered in the fourth quarter of Wednesday night's game against the Memphis Grizzlies at the United Center. The results of the MRI on Thursday showing a sprain and a small fracture in the elbow. Dwayne Wade will be out for the remainder of the regular season. So that means the young guys have got to step up. And that leads us to our first interview here on Chicago Bulls Live. Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball Operations for the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. Larry, it's all about the youth. I know the Bulls have to bring up the youth with Wade's injury, but tell us a little bit about the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. First of all, I'd love to start with a success story, and I know it has to do with also the NCAA tournament because you've got a Northwestern kid or two that's really running good these days, right?
Yes, we do, and it's interesting because it really all happened timely around the NCAA tournament, but then I've actually trained and coached Northwestern players for the last 10, 12 years, and it all started with Drew Crawford, who was one of my kids, and he came in at the age of 11 years of age and played here at the academy and ironically became a Northwestern basketball player. So I watched him fight year after year to try to make the tournament, and now ironically with the group that's made the tournament, Jordan Ash is one of my trainees and one of my players, and now he's made the NCAA tournament, so he's kind of paid homage to, the guys that came before him. And I'm sure Drew and those guys are just excited about the fact that Northwestern finally made it. And I'm excited for them as well.
I think it's great. It's a great success story for the city of Chicago and the surrounding area and the Midwest for Northwestern to get their first ever NCAA tournament appearance. Larry, let's talk about what's happening here with the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. For those people who don't know, boy, if you've got a youngster, boy or girl, playing basketball, playing baseball, or girls softball. And you tell me the ages again, Lara, but it is a dynamic place. And we've had the opportunity to do it firsthand with my family and my boys, and they've loved all the spring break camps, the shooting camps, the private lessons, the summer camps. But tell me a little bit more about the philosophy and what you guys have built here in so many years at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy.
Well, Steve, it's interesting and it's actually phenomenal to be able to train children at the age of 5 years of age, and we go all the way up to 18 years old. So it's something for everyone. And when I say we're training five-year-olds, it's instruction. It's not day camp. So we want to make sure that children are learning the game at the basic level, and that they learn to love it. And at some point, they become one of the youth basketball players that move into playing professional basketball. But if they don't, they become really good grade school players and high school players. And then they move on to have a basic, solid knowledge of how to play baseball, basketball, and fast-pitch softball. But, the mission of the Bulls and White Sox is to make sure that kids enjoy the game and they learn it the right way. And hopefully, as they move up and they move forward, they become future fans of our teams.
Fantastic. Well, what's next on the docket here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy as we visit with Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball Operations here on Chicago Bulls Live, your very popular spring break camp?
Yeah, the spring break camp is very popular. And as you mentioned, your boys have been here before, and we hope to have a nice group of kids that come in during this time. The date is actually going to be March 27th through the 29th, and we're going to have rookies and veterans. Ironically, the rookies are going to go from 1 to 4 p.m., and that's Monday through Wednesday, and the cost is $175 per kid. The reason for that is because we do combo. And so for the younger kids, the baseball session will be in the morning from 9 to 12, and then we'll do basketball in the afternoon. It'll be the reverse for the veterans. So the veterans will go in the morning from 9 to 12, same dates, Monday through Wednesday. But then, again, they have the baseball component for them that will go in the afternoon. So it's really cool, and, you know, it's nice that you can do a lot in that camp.
And tell me the ages for the rookies and the veterans.
The ages for the rookies is actually going to be 5 to 8 years of age, and then for the rookie, for the older group, it'll be 9 to 14. So again, it's balanced out, it's age appropriate, and everybody will have an opportunity to work with kids that are about the same age as them in the same skill level.
Yeah, and my children, my two boys have done it many years, and they've loved the entire day. And then they take an hour for lunch, and either the parents can bring them a lunch. You've got hot dogs and popcorn and Gatorade here, so you can keep them here the whole day. And I used to love to come visit them, and it was great. And I know my boys look forward to it once again. Let's talk next, Larry, if we can, about the Bulls shooting camp, because that's really an emphasis that people need to work on. And whether you're working at home with maybe your local coach, people really should specialize in learning how to shoot the basketball the right way, correct?
I totally agree. And I mean, we see it every day in basketball. Whatever level kids are playing on, and parents can see kids that really can shoot the basketball, and they're in amazement. Well, why can they shoot so well? Well, somewhere along the line, a couple things have happened. They've worked on the basic skills, and then there's a lot of repetition that goes into being a good shooter. So in our shooting camp, that's what we do. We want to break down the basic model of what you should do. It's four simple techniques that we work on. It's balance, elbow, eyes, follow through. And within that, we try to make sure that our players are getting shots up and getting reps, and then they can take that and go home and do it. So no magical potion, you know, no mysterious stuff that we're going to do. It's combined with the right teachings here and making sure they can apply it outside of here. But the dates are going to be April 11th through May the 12th for our rookies. And then for the veterans, it'll be April the 13th through May the 4th. And there's a little variation in the time. For the young kids, which are our rookies, it'll be 5 to 6 p.m. It's an hour, and that's 5 to 8 and 9, 11-year-olds. And then for the veterans, it'll be on Thursdays from 5 to 6:30, and we'll have 12 to 14-year-olds working together. And then our 15 to 18-year-old group will be together, but they're all considered veterans. And the cost for the rookies is $88 because of the hour difference, or the half-hour difference, I'm sorry. And then the half-hour difference on the veteran side brings it to $124. But it's fully worth it, and I think that every child should touch a shooting camp of some sort, and we'd love to have them here at Bulls Sox Academy to do it.
All right, that's the Bulls shooting camp, again, coming in April. And visiting with Larry Stewart again, General Manager of Basketball Operations for the Bulls Sox Youth Academy. Let's talk about your big Spring League. Explain what that is, Larry.
The Spring League is really cool, Steve, because teams can come in as external teams and play here at the academy. We combine having our internal teams involved in it, but it's nice because we get teams from all over. West suburbs, Northwest Indiana, North suburbs. We get some teams that even come in from out of state sometime for different things that we do. But they all play here at our facility. And as you know, Steve, our facility looks just like the United Center. And so the two side courts look like the practice courts at the Advocate. The main court looks just like the UC. So at some point during that league, a child is going to get an opportunity to play on all three of those basketball courts, and it really makes the experience very, very cool. You know, just to give you some specifics on it, it starts on April the 28th, and we play through June the 18th. And the times are different because we have different requests. Typically, Saturday, Sundays is when we play. 12:30 to 9:30 is typically the time frame on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we go from 8 to 9, but we make it a little more specific once we get running. The last thing I want to mention, Steve, is that every ref that we have here is IHSA certified, which I think is important. We do have scorekeepers that keep the score, so parents can watch the games and don't have to worry about doing the clock. There is admission, but all of that goes to what we're doing, you know, here at the academy. So it's a lot of fun, and I think it's really cool for the kids.
Yeah, and I love that because my kids play basketball, and I'm always asked to be a scorekeeper or run the clock, and I don't mind, but I'd rather be a parent. But they need that in other facilities. First tournament I've ever been to, Larry, here at the Bulls Sox Youth Academy, where you guys provide that. The referees were outstanding during our tournament experience, and it was great that you had young men and women running the clock – and doing the scorekeeping. So, as you said, parents can just watch the games.
Yeah, I think that's important. And as a dad myself, I was always a volunteer. I had to, you know, help with different things and do different things on a regular basis in regard to helping and being a part of what we were doing or what my kids were doing. But I think it's important for parents to really to be able to enjoy the experience. And then also it cuts down on people thinking that, you know, because you're the parent of one team that you're helping another team out. The reality of it is that everybody wants to see their kids play. You're here at Bull Sox Academy. If you come to our spring league, if you come to a tournament or anything that, you know, involves you watching a basketball game, you'll be able to come in and just watch and not have to keep score.
Wonderful stuff. Larry Stewart, General Manager of Basketball Operations for the Bull Sox Youth Academy. Up next here on Chicago Bulls Live, we go one-on-one with NBA broadcaster, the very popular Kevin Harlan. That interview with Chuck Swirsky and Kevin Harlan after this on Chicago Bulls Live on WLS AM 890.
This is the new home of Chicago Bulls basketball. Hear every Chicago Bulls game here. WLS AM 890. Now back to the Chicago Bulls Live.
Welcome back, everyone, to Chicago Bulls Live. I'm Steve Cashel. Our next guest, a popular NBA broadcaster. You see him on TNT. It's Kevin Harlan. Here's more from Chuck Swirsky.
So, Kevin, give me an indication during basketball and football what your week is like.
Well, like yours, it's 7 days a week. Once basketball starts, I know for you, closer you get to training camp, every day is a day of looking at the stories around the league with particular attention, of course, to your Bulls, and trying to kind of get back in the routine that is so much a part of a play-by-play guy's life. Is if you don't have that routine, Chuck, as you know, you're going to find yourself all scattered, and that's no way to prepare for a broadcast, no way to go into a game. And so that a lot of it is just planning each and every day. So every day of the week, especially when our TNT NBA schedule starts on the 13th with the preseason game out west, and then we start opening night on the 25th out in Golden State with the Spurs. I think Marv's got the game before that with Cleveland getting their rings. You've just got to make sure that every day, if you've got three or four priorities, if you can bang those things out, you usually find yourself in pretty good shape. There are times when we catch up, but whether it's watching tape and grading your own work or watching tape of the upcoming teams you're going to do and staying on top with all the stories and all the great work the beat writers around the league, both the NBA and NFL do, all those things kind of swirl throughout each and every day of my week. So while it's hectic and busy, probably no more busy than a lot of your listeners, but that's in our world, those are the things, those are the priorities we set up and we try to attain.
Kevin, let's talk about preparation and grading for a moment. You said that you grade yourself. There are a lot of broadcasters who, after a game, 2 days after a game, they don't want anything to do with that game. They don't want to see themselves. They don't want to hear clips. They just, you know, file and forget. There are others who say, okay, you know what, as soon as I get done, I want to hear the game. I want to know everything I did right, wrong, what I can do to correct. Where do you stand in that mix?
Well, I'm thinking you and I are probably alike, and that I like to continually evolve and improve. And I just feel that I owe it to the people that employ me and the own infrastructure of my career that, you know, much like any job out there, whether you're on commission, Chuck, or whether you're a football coach grading the plays and the players of that previous week's game, I think self-analysis and self-improvement is pretty much at the core of what we do. So much of our preparation oftentimes goes to the wayside. And the only thing that really remains at the end of every discussion is, what was the delivery like? What was the performance like of that broadcaster? Were you on top of the storylines for sure, but when that big bucket was made with a couple seconds left, were you able to deliver? When that touchdown pass was thrown to end the game, were you able to, you know, capture all the things that made that, you know, from a broadcaster standpoint, possible? So going back and listening and making my own grade sheet, which I do for football virtually play-by-play, And then basketball, which is more of a feel for me because you couldn't grade every play. The coaches do. They'll grade the deflections and if the guy was in the right position on a pick and roll or you know, did the guy set the kind of screen that he, and where was it set? For a broadcaster, you're making sure that, you know, on television in particular, I know radio is a completely different animal, but on television, that you're capturing the flow, you're engaging in a conversation, you're pertinent to what's going on the floor. So it's more listening for basketball, that the feel is good, and I'll make several notes on my games. And in football, it's a little bit more detailed. Have I mentioned, you know, the tackler every play? Have I made sure that I give the gains or the loss on every play? Have I recapped frequently enough? And then I do radio and TV there too. So again, that's those are different ways and different roads to go down. The bottom line is, as a broadcaster, and you know this because of your terrific career and where you've been and the jobs you've had, you've got to constantly self-analyze. There is not a lot of feedback we get. Our bosses, our superiors are not either comfortable doing it or feel like it's overkill if they do. So it's incumbent on, I think, us individually to really sit there, grade, and be incredibly honest with what you've heard. And more times than not, I will tell you, I'm disappointed. And rarely do I put off the headset at night and say, I think I've nailed it. In times that I have, I've not, when I've gone back and looked. In times that I feel that maybe I have failed, I go back and listen or watch, and I feel that probably it wasn't as bad as I thought. So it's a range of emotions. I'm probably too anal about this stuff, but I guess that's the way I've kind of patterned my career.
You know, Kevin, none of us, well, maybe you're perfect. I know I'm not. But, you know, a ball player goes 0 for 4. Maybe he's in a slump for a week. Maybe a basketball player has a tough night at the office. He goes 6 for 18 from the floor, and he's walking out of the building, and he just takes it with him. When you finish a game, in your heart, do you say to yourself, man, I nailed it? Or do you start saying, you know what, I got to go back early in the fourth quarter to see if I really was on top of that? I mean, how much as you just described of that disappointment in your heart can linger before you say, you know what, I got another ball game in 24 hours?
Well, and you do. That's the great thing about our job is you can quickly go out and try to, you know, make amends. You can try to capture what maybe you didn't have the previous night or the previous broadcast. I guess I always feel like if there was no major snafu, that it you know, I can take off the headset and feel, okay, we got through it. It may not have been my best, or it may have been one of my better, but the bottom line is there was nothing cataclysmic that happened on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more times, Chuck, that I'll feel, you know, I could have said 1,000 things listening back to a broadcast differently. And that's the problem. This is a live event. There is no script. You are reacting to live things. And some nights, like you were just talking about, some nights your shot is on and the words flow and the ideas and the creativity and all that. The voice is strong, which gives you confidence, and you know the teams, and you have a great feel for, and you're mixing well with your analyst. And you can take off the headset and go, yeah, that felt pretty good. But there are other nights where, for whatever reason, the words don't come as easily. And the flow is not as rhythmic and then your pace and tempo is not what you want it to be. And maybe for whatever reason, your analyst was off and you were trying to make amends and trying to maybe cover up or help him on. And maybe it was too much or you talked too much. There are 1,000 things that go through my mind, and I do dwell on the negatives far more than the positives. In fact, I would say the highs are never as high as the lows are low. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't love the business and love the challenge and feel grateful every night when I lay down about, you know, how lucky and blessed I've been and wake up in the morning and look forward to what I've got ahead of me. I have all those feelings. But I guess because, like you, we're so hard on ourselves, we always want to be perfect. You cannot be perfect in this business. I don't think any broadcaster, from the greats that have been in the Chicago area to the national people, I think they would, to a man, tell you that, and woman, that they have not had that perfect broadcast. And that's what we all strive for. We love the challenge. We feel so lucky to be where we are. But at the same time, you know, that you probably disappoint yourself more than you applaud yourself, because it never can measure up to what in your mind you feel it needs to be.
Up next, part two of Chuck's interview with TNT NBA broadcaster Kevin Harlan. Stay with us on Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. Kevin Harlan, the popular broadcaster from TNT. Here's Chuck Swirsky with Kevin Harlan.
Let's talk about the NBA for a moment. When you walk into an NBA building and you put the headset on, and regardless of the teams, because you get some great games, you're on the national level, you get great games, period. So when you walk into the building, what goes down your spine? What's in your heart? What is it about the NBA that brings out the best in a Kevin Harlan?
Well, I think, you know, probably like you, Chuck, the first thing I always kind of see are the pregame player individual workouts with probably players that will not play, maybe D-League guys that have just been brought up. And then sometimes you see the incredible great superstars that our league has, whether it's a Ray Allen in years gone by who was working on his jump shot, or, just a variety of things. I guess when I see that initially on the floor, I think this is the major leagues. These are guys working on their craft every day. This is the NBA. There is no better league in the world than this. These are the best players every single night. Even Chuck, as you know, the worst teams have got talent, and there is some, for whatever reason, they may not be winning, but sometimes the players on there are just jaw-dropping, and that's what I love. I love the fact that there is this magical feel of what we're going to see in a couple hours, and it's going to be, you know, circus-like. It's going to be extraordinary, and there could be something that happens in this game that'll be so captivating. And how lucky are we that we get a front row seat at midcourt to watch this game. I also think about the people that employ me at Turner Broadcasting. They've done the NBA for over two decades. I've been fortunate enough to be there. This is my 20th year with them. And know that, you know, there are a lot of people behind the scenes working hard to get this broadcast on the air. So good game or bad, dull game or exciting, it's my job to do the best job that I can when I go in there. So I like that challenge, as you do too. I love the challenge of trying to make everybody associated with that broadcast, from the people that sell it to the people that are technically involved with it, that produce it and direct it, and the people back at the stations or the various network affiliates that are carrying it. I mean, you're doing it for this big concerted effort. Everybody's got an oar in the water, and that includes me. And I want to make sure that I have gripped that oar as tight and as positively as I can and make that thing go. And I know that the league is watching. And this is a league, as you well know, that is very big on the people that represent the game, namely the broadcasters. So we've got to be at the top of our game. Doesn't happen every night, but regardless, we have got to put forth the kind of effort that when the league watches that game, whether it's Adam Silver in his home or anybody else with the league, that they say, this is a good representative for our league. Because you know what? They deserve it. That job requires it, and that league deserves the best that we can give them every night.
Absolutely. Well put. Well, you've called a lot of great games, Kevin. Are there a couple that stand out in your mind where it really left an indelible mark on your broadcasting career?
I don't know, Chuck, if I can say individually. There's always that playoff game that stands out. The game seven a couple years ago in the first round between the Spurs and Clippers, one of the greatest first-round series I had ever been a part of, and did six of the seven games in that series. And probably that was only second to that Boston Bulls series handful of years ago with all the overtimes and the game sevens.
2009.
Oh, my God, what a remarkable journey that was.
How about just game six?
Great NBA cities and, just incredible efforts given by champions on both sides. And I just, those two series in particular probably stand out. And then probably more than individual games, Chuck, are probably just guys I've watched and places I've done them from. And I got to tell you, Chicago might be at the very top of the list in watching the great Jordan and the old stadium and the United Center. And and calling those games, you felt privileged to be there because you knew that this was something special, much like calling Kobe's games out in Los Angeles and Bird to a degree in Boston at the Old Garden and the new. I just think that you know, when you talk about, you know, and of course LeBron and Cleveland and Miami, you know, you probably remember doing those kinds of games, and they all kind of blend together. And that is when you feel like you've really been privileged and gotten a chance to sit, you know, do something memorable. And I guess that's what kind of stands out in my mind. But nothing could surpass, for sure, maybe close to come equal, but nothing would surpass doing Jordan in Chicago and the full throat of the crowd, always making it a special occasion. Some buildings we go into, it's not special. It's not electric, even with a good team. In Chicago, when he played, it was always electric. It was always special.
Yeah. And Kevin, that's going to bring us to our final question about Chicago. You've been through here many, many times. Obviously, you called preseason Bears games. You know this market as well as anyone. And, you know, the fans love you. When I told a number of people that we were going to get you on the podcast, they said, when is it on? We can't wait to hear it. Because, Kevin, you have a connection with this city, as you know, a number of people have embraced you. What does Chicago mean to you?
Well, you know, I grew up in Green Bay. My dad was with the Packers, and so there's the natural rivalry between the two franchises. But there's also great respect. I've got a brother who's been in Chicago for many years, was with the Bears, now is an agent. I've gotten to, because I grew up so close to Chicago, we went to Chicago often growing up, and I wouldn't necessarily call it a second home for me, but it's the kind of town that when I go there, you just feel something different. I love to fly through O'Hare. I constantly am connecting through O'Hare, and I love every time I come to Chicago. But I will say this, that when there's something, Chuck, and I know you appreciate this, about Midwestern fans, and in particular a hub like Chicago, which has had incredible teams to root for, whether the Blackhawks in the NHL, the glory years of the Bears, and certainly the great run of Jordan and those Chicago Bulls teams. And now we've got the Cubs right on the brink, and that is going to be an incredible story this fall. I just think that there's something about a Midwestern person and about that city, which may be sometimes overlooked because it's not on a coast. It's not in L.A., it's not in New York, but it is Chicago. And I think there is a great pride taken by the people that live there and work there and cheer there. And for me as a broadcaster, it's a place that brings a smile to my face and a place that I always enjoy coming to. We did that Monday night game a couple nights ago, and the Bears looked awful. But being in that stadium and the history of Soldier Field, there's nothing like it. It's iconic, and you feel privileged to do a game in Chicago. And I always know that there's a good restaurant to go to before or afterwards with great memories associated with every single street in that downtown. So to me, I can't think of a better place to go visit. And then on top of that, I get to see good friends like you, and that makes it whole. That makes it whole.
Well, this has been terrific, Kevin. We appreciate your time. I know we've taken 30 minutes, and you got a lot of things on the plate here. So we thank you for your time, and we appreciate it.
Chuck, can't wait to see you. It'll be sooner than later. Get a great start to the season, as I know you will. We can pick up your broadcast. We have a place up in Door County. We have a place. We live in Kansas City. That's where we raised our family. I can pick up your broadcast on the Chicago station so cleanly. Are you on 890 this year?
We're on WLS 890. Yep. New home for us, so we're excited about that. But, Kevin, when is your first Bulls game, by the way? Do you know?
That's a good question. I think in the first, they gave us our first 2 months, and I don't know that I have any. I know Marv has got some, and so I know he loves Chicago as much as I do. So he'll be going in there to do those. But I'll see you sooner or later, and I always enjoy when we cross paths and see your smile and your wonderful hello. It warms my heart to see friends like you along the trail. And so I cannot wait to get there and do a game and certainly see you.
That's Chuck Swirsky with TNT's Kevin Harlan. Many thanks to the Timeout Bulls podcast, driven by Lexus, available on iTunes. Time for a short break here on Chicago Bulls Live. When we return, we'll visit with USA Today basketball writer Jeff Zilgit.
Stay with us on WLSAM 890. Welcome back, everyone, to Chicago Bulls Live. USA Today's Jeff Zilgit is the epitome of a fighter. Zilgit began working for USA Today back in 1995, has stayed on his NBA beat despite undergoing treatment for colon cancer. Zilgit, who was at the Bulls game last night, visited with Chuck Swirsky, telling us when he got started covering basketball.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a gym. Chuck, it's sort of how it went. My dad was a high school basketball, baseball coach, and always wanted to be around sports. And then on top of that, I loved reading and writing. And so at a certain age, I also realized that my athletic skills, were capped at a certain point. And so I wasn't going to do much more than high school athletics, but I wanted to be around the game. And as you know, there are lots of ways to do it. You can be on the team side of things or on the journalistic side of things, and I ended up on that side.
Okay, so give me an idea as far as USA Today and your employment there and how that started.
Well, USA Today is owned by a company called Gannett, and I worked at a couple Gannett papers in Michigan. Started off at a smaller one on the, when you talk about the Great Lakes, the other side. I worked at a small paper in Port Huron, Michigan, right on here. Lake Huron, then worked at a paper in Lansing, Michigan. And then, things just transpired where you make connections and you get to know people and ended up at USA Today.
All right. Well, here you are. You're in a career, very visible, obviously, on a national basis, covering the National Basketball Association. And as you know, life takes different twists and turns. And let's get to that point in your world.
It was during the 2015 finals, Chuck. I did not feel well. And I got back from the finals and kept, for lack of a better word, complaining. And my wife said, if these things bother you that much, you need to go find out what's going on. And at that point, was diagnosed with colon cancer. Had surgery, a favorable prognosis at that point. My lymph nodes were free of cancer, and there was a 10 to 20% chance of recurrence. I like those numbers at that point. And yet, I rolled the dice, and that 10 to 20% chance came up when I was diagnosed with colon cancer that metastasized or spread to the liver in September of 2016. Had liver surgery at that point to remove the lesions or small tumors. The doctor who described it said, and it is a nice description, it was about two small ice cream scoops of my liver were removed during the operation. And at that point, it was determined that chemotherapy was the best course of action to make sure that any existing cancer cells were eliminated. And I'm in the middle of that treatment right now.
So what has been the feedback you've received when you went public?
The support has been overwhelming, and I mentioned that to you off air, Chuck. It is a paradox because I would prefer not to be in this situation, and yet I also would not have had the experience of feeling that overwhelming support, which helps me take the next step. I've said it often, I don't do this alone, whether it's family, friends, strangers, associates, every little bit helps because, for anyone who's out there has been touched by cancer in some form or fashion, and the chemotherapy treatments are not easy, and you need that support to take the next step. And the initial thought of going public with it was, one, we wanted to keep our family and friends updated because we couldn't constantly be in contact with all of them. And then at the same token, that there are people who were asking in that NBA community that you're talking about. And there's a side note to this is maybe this helps someone discover something early, because the key in all this, and I've been fortunate both times, early detection is the key, and it's your best chance of either getting cured from it or helping you live a longer life. And if anyone learns from this, if you have a family history and you know about it, it's worth talking to your doctor about and getting a step ahead of it as much as you can. And so those are a couple reasons as well that we've decided to share our story.
I'm not going to let you go without asking a basketball question. The two best teams you've seen all year in their respective conferences, give me a winner in the East and West.
Oh, man, I know this is going to be the easy way out, but by the time teams play seven-game series throughout the playoffs, I still think it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State.
That's Chuck Swirsky with USA Today basketball writer Jeff Zilgit. Time now to visit with our friends from the Windy City Bulls. And I had a chance to talk with President Brad Seymour, talking about their success on and off the court during this, their inaugural season. And he gives us some of the highlights thus far in the community.
We really, as you say, are finishing up what's been a great inaugural season out here at Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center. And, you know, part of that, part of our mission as we launched this was to really become integrated in the community. And I think we've done a pretty good job of establishing a great foundation in doing that. Just this past week, we had a large group of Special Olympians out here, and we had our entire team here. They did a clinic on the court, which was really a thrill. I think for both sides, the smiles were not just with the young athletes. It was our team getting a pretty big kick out of it too. So, you know, just another example of what we've been doing as we integrate ourselves. A lot of organizations have had the opportunity to play on our court, whether it be before a game, you know, on a non-game day. And so it's just part of what we've been doing. And certainly we've had Gus, our mascot, out with Benny, of course, numerous times all throughout the community, whether it be schools, community organizations. So really happy with how we've been able to establish ourselves in this first year and really, as I say, set the foundation as we move forward.
Our guest, Brad Seymour, the president of the Windy City Bulls. And I know, Brad, the team recently hosted an Education Day game in front of thousands of local students in Northwest suburbs. Can you tell us more about that event?
My goodness, it was something really cool to see. It was a couple of weeks ago, hosted a 10 a.m. game, had 2,500, 3,000 kids out here, and really, you know, almost like the community really set the foundation for something to grow on as we get into year two and beyond. But the energy and the noise level was incredible. And again, I think, you know, talking to our players and coaching staff, they thought that the atmosphere here was spectacular. The kids went away, you know, if they didn't leave with something, whether it be a T-shirt or some sort of giveaway item, they weren't trying. We were throwing so much out and just really getting them excited. And that's really become a focal point of our league as a whole. A couple of the teams have really done well and found success with their education events. For example, just this past week, Toronto set the league record. They had 18,000 people at the Air Canada Center. So certainly something for us to shoot for with these day games, but we were very happy with the turnout. And again, something to grow on as we get into the off season in our planning.
Visiting with Brad Seymour, Windy City Bulls president. The Windy City Bulls are offering a spring break package for just $59. That is good for any of the remaining home games. Sounds like a great offer for local families to take advantage of. What is that all about, Brad?
We introduced this at the beginning of March, and you know, knowing that spring break is coming up for a lot of communities, wanted to put something out there that was great value. It's really designed for the families. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four waters, four chips for any of our remaining games. We have four games remaining this month. We've had a very heavy March schedule, but four games remaining. And for $59, you can bring the family out. We're calling it a staycation, and we have some fun promotions going on at the end of the month with the last two games. We have a steel drum band that's going to be out here along with our normal Bulls entertainment. And then the last game of the season is April 1st. Not only are we giving away a beach tote bag, but we're going to have Chicago's largest sandbox here. We're revamping our fun zone on the floor level, bringing in over 10 tons of sand, and we're going to let the kids have a ball on the last game on April 1st, and we're calling it Chicago's largest sandbox, and really looking forward to having a lot of families out here, really to celebrate what we've been able to accomplish in this first year.
And Brad, final question again, visiting with Brad Seymour, the president of the Windy City Bulls. Talk a little bit about the coordination you have with the parent club, you know, the Chicago Bulls, and the symmetry that you guys have enjoyed together.
My gosh, it's exceeded my expectations. You know, the amount of support and integration that we have with the Chicago Bulls organization. Again, every game is produced and manned by Chicago Bulls staff. It's the same folks that are putting on the entertainment experience at the United Center. They come and do it at the Sears Center. You know, the business side. Every day we're in communications about ways to integrate the Windy City team with what's going on in Chicago, and vice versa. And so, as I say, it's exceeded my expectations. We have such a good working relationship. And the thing that it's what attracted me from the get-go in taking this opportunity, it's from the top down, everybody embracing this as their team, and it's their project. And we're all going to make this succeed. We're all going to make it successful. And truly, as I've been saying all year, it's an extension of the Bulls brand into the Northwest suburbs and really making it everybody's team up here.
Great stuff, Brad. Continued success and congratulations on a great inaugural season.
Very good. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Brad Seymour, the head, he's the president of the Windy City Bulls. That's all the time we have for this edition of Chicago Bulls Live. Many thanks to our executive producer, Dave Zaslowski. Many thanks to Chuck Swirsky. I'm Steve Cashel. Coming up next, Bulls and the Utah Jazz. Our Bulls pregame show is next. Thanks for listening to Bulls Live here on WLSAM 890.